to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The word faithfulness is bigger than the word success. I want to be faithful to God. When the dust settles and the guns have ceased their firing, I want to be one that's still standing for the glory of God. There's more to this life than what you have been told. Let's read the first chapter. And I pray that God will teach you. It might be you're here and you're 23 years old. You think you got your whole life in front of you. I don't know how much life you have in front of you. But I know this. If you try to live it without Christ, it's a mess. You're going to create a lot of heartache. You're going to go through a lot of valleys. You don't need to go through those valleys. Some of them are self-inflicted wounds. You don't need to experience those. Put Jesus first. Verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities. The word vanity means empty, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That sounds pretty dark. I'll tell you again, this world without Christ is empty. It's dark. Verse 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What's life all about? One generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Generation after generation. The sun also ariseth and the sun goeth down. And hasteth to the place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. The preacher said as he looked around at life, nothing changes. Generation after generation, men experience the same heartaches, the same defeats. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Everything goes wrong. That's part of being part of Adam's fallen race. If you've ever mechanicked at all, if you've ever worked on anything, if you've ever built anything, you know anything that can go wrong goes wrong. It's an unusual day when everything just kind of falls together. And give glory to God when that happens. And I do say, oh, thank you, God. I know that that board fits because of you. I thank you because I've messed up enough things in my life. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Here's number three. Nothing satisfies without Christ. You think something out there is going to satisfy you, but I'll tell you, before you get there, it doesn't satisfy. You think once I get to the place where I'm making X amount of money a year, then I'm going to know satisfaction. And I'm telling you, before you ever get there, and you could, if you're, you could make the mistake of spending your whole life trying to get to that magic number. You're going to get there, and it's not enough. It doesn't satisfy. It's no more satisfying than when you had just a little bit of money. Nothing in this world satisfies. This is Solomon speaking this. He's reigning in Jerusalem, in Israel. Sitting on the throne. He's experienced some life when he writes this. He has a little time in his life where he drifts away from the Lord God Jehovah. And he looks around and says, this all there is. Man, everything's work. Nothing changes. Everything goes wrong. What's life all about? It's all empty. This is a man who has all the food he wants to eat. I used to think that food is really what life is about. I did, man. I thought food is so, it's still pretty big to me, but I live the disciplined life now. I'll tell you what, this diet, my lifestyle genuinely has changed when it comes to eating. And it's kind of melancholy to even think about it, but I still enjoy the good things, you know, the good foods, but man, when I was young, I remember thinking, I can't wait till I have enough money I can eat anything I want to eat. Now I got a little bit of money. My kids are growing and everything. I got money in my wallet most of the time, and I drive right by Dairy Queen. I can't have that now, you know. There's the Golden Arches. Oh, man. Oh. And Man, when in my younger days, I could have had a franchise of McDonald's with all the McDonald's and the Big Macs I bought. Those days are gone. It's all empty. It is. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. In other words, it's all been done. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Everybody is going to forget your great accomplishments. They're going to forget your name. They're going to forget how good looking you used to be. It's all going to be gone. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Vexation. That's frustration. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is want cannot be numbered. You know what makes the difference? Christ. He is the only one that can take that which is crooked and make it straight. He's the only one that can take that which is wanting and make it whole. He's the only one that can take a broken, lost sinner, pick him up, forgive him of all of his sins in past, present, and future, wipe him off by way of the blood of his own blood shed at Calvary, and take him into his arms and make him a child of God. Amen. He's the only one that can do that. And, you know, that kind of lets the cat out of the bag before we get to chapter 12. But Solomon's saying, I've tried it all. I look around me and I see the subjects of my kingdom, and I see all that is going on around me and all the wealth and everything, and it's all empty. It's all been done before. Nobody can say, look what I've found. Nobody can say, look what I've invented. It's brand new. It's never been done before. It can't be done. And by the way, a lot of, you know, the antediluvian period, I don't want to get off on a big bad tangent, but I think they had electricity back before Genesis and chapter 6. You read a little bit about that, and you study archaeology, and you see what was going on. They were pretty advanced. You know, they weren't that far removed from Adam. They were pretty advanced. They moved ahead in technology real fast. But God had to wipe them out because of the wickedness in the world. Solomon, the preacher, the king, says it's all been done before. He said, I want you to know that I set my heart to study in this. He lets a cat out of the bag early in the book. I set my heart to study in this, and I found out Jesus is the only answer. Jehovah God is the only one that fulfills. I trust this morning, as we look at the remainder of this chapter, maybe we'll get a little further into it. And I know you think you're a whole lot smarter than the previous generation. I'll tell you something. You're not. I thought I was smarter than the previous generation. I wasn't. I know that you're 18 years old and you got the bull by the tail. And, is that what it is? Cat by the tail? Lion by the tail? So whatever. You got it by the tail anyway, all right? And you think you got it all figured out. And you think you're bulletproof. And you think, man, you could do no wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And I'm telling you as your preacher, I'm telling you as your pastor, if you just put Christ first, you'll avoid so much heartache. And you'll avoid so many tears. You'll make less and less mistakes. You'll turn and you'll make some proper decisions instead of some. You'll just save yourself just a whole lifetime of sorrow. If you would just be wise enough, just be smart enough to put Jesus Christ first in your life. And not the Jesus that you fabricate in your mind. The Jesus of the Bible and the commands of the Scripture. Well, Solomon tries it all. Says there's no purpose without God. It's all emptiness. It's all vexation. It's all frustration. Verse 13 says, I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom. Look at I'll pick up with verse 16. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I have come to a great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. He said, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Genesis or Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, Pastor Josh already read it in our scripture reading. You could read all the books of the world, doesn't satisfy. It doesn't. That's why the Greeks of their day, which were known for their knowledge and they got to the place where there was Gnosticism, and they felt like nobody could really, what is truth? Nobody could really know truth, because everything they read was just open-ended. They never understood that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to Calvary to die and make a way for sinners to get to God's heaven, and that's what life is all about. And once you get born again, you become spiritually alive, and when you become spiritually quickened, you're adopted into the family of God, and now life makes sense. And if you're wise enough, if you've got enough wisdom, you'll follow that Savior, that one who has saved you from the fires of hell, and let him shepherd your life, and then you'll know what life is all about. And you won't be frustrated all the time. And you won't be reaching, chasing rainbows and the carrot on the end of the stick and never always striving and never attaining. The answer, Solomon said, I found the answer is not in education. Verse 18 says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Education is not the answer. That's why you go on college campuses today and university campuses, and you'll find that among the professors and the elite, their suicide rate and their divorce rate and their heartache and sorrow, and their drunkenness, and their depravity is as high and as great as every other segment of society without Christ. People look at them as learned and having all the answers, and they don't. And they realize it. I've said this before. You can go to school a long time and become a doctor. It doesn't make you spiritual. Doesn't mean you know anything. Doesn't mean you're smart. It means you can write papers. It means you can take exams. Big deal. That's not real life. Solomon said, I set my heart to education. And a lot of learned men and women of letters, are buffoons and failures in life. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doth it? Dulled with pleasure. Solomon said, I looked to just having fun, to just having a party, and all it did was dull my senses, and there were no answers. And that's why the drunk goes back to the can of beer every Friday night. Because there are no answers, and he's just trying to dull away life. He's trying to dilute it. He's trying to escape. And there is no escape in the needle. There is no escape in the pill or the weed. There is no escape at the bottom of the bottle. There's no answers. It was the rich fool that said, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't it amazing how big the party crowd is today? It's our society. You know why? They don't have Christ. They don't have Christ. How many of you people have said to me multiple times over in all different kinds of ways, this is the first time I've ever had fun without drinking. I didn't know Christians were having so much fun. You know, all of a sudden things just kind of click. You put Jesus Christ first place in your life, and you don't have to wake up with a hangover. You don't have to spend the night puking your guts out, wondering what you did the night before, committing murder on the highways, all kinds of illicit and promiscuous life and living, and you don't even know what you've done because you're in a stupor. Solomon said, and I'm not saying that Solomon did that, but Solomon said, I tried to bury my life and just having a good time, laughter, empty. Verse 3, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He said, man, I turned to booze, try to dilute my life with drinking. The Bible says, look not on wine that moveth in the glass. The scripture says, woe unto him that giveth to his brother drink. The commands of Scripture are very clear. Before that was ever written, Solomon said, "Man, I tried that stuff. It didn't do anything for me." Emptiness. Frustration. That's what it was. Verse 4, "I made great works. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted the vineyards." Great accomplishments. Solomon said, "I tried to bury my life in my work." Some of you know exactly what Solomon's talking about. "I just tried to bury my life in my work. I tried to find joy in my accomplishments." Man's accomplishments are sandcastles. They're here and they are gone. That's it. Solomon got far enough in life where he realized there has to be more. And Solomon was a builder. There has to be more than these accomplishments. Verse 5, "I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith, and the wood that bringeth forth trees." So I burdened myself with property, land, vineyards, crops, holdings. I tried to make them more than what they were. Verse 18, chapter 2, 18 and 19. "Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherewith I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun." This is empty. This is vanity. You see, here's what he's saying. Here's what Solomon's saying. I work hard all my life thinking that work is where it's at. I work hard all my life and have all these big accomplishments and all these buildings and all these holdings. And then I die. And I leave it to the next guy. And he didn't work for it. And I don't know if he's going to be a wise man or a fool and just waste it all away. And it's going to be here and it's going to be gone, just like those sandcastles. Don't spend your life building accomplishments in this world. Everything you got, use it for God. Use it for God. It was put in your hand to use for God. If you're a man, you take care of your wife in case something happens to you, all right? Your kids, once they get of age, what do they need your stuff for? It's God that gave it to you. Let them learn faith. Let them learn how to grow. Teach your children that kind of thing. And then you have the while you still have the wherewithal, use what God has placed in your hands for the glory of God. That's a great thing. Or you can go the other route. Solomon said, just get all kinds of holdings. Probably some fool is going to come along and spend everything after you're gone. Who knows what they're going to use your property for? You know, it'll be gone. What they say, the average inheritance lasts, 18 months? You spend your whole life building something, and your kids come along and pff, right through their fingers, gone, 18 months. I had a man come to me one time, "Oh, pastor, pray for me. I need some wisdom. I'm going to court. I got an inheritance coming." And this is a guy who didn't have two nickels to rub together. He's still in the area. "I'll pray for you." I prayed for him by name. We prayed together. We read some Bible together. He went to court. Man, he got $450,000. He was so excited. Wasn't that many years ago. It was gone in less than a year. He gave nothing to God. It's gone. You know, Solomon said, it's all empty. Nothing changes. Verse 7, "I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in mine house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me." Power. Solomon said, "I tried power. I thought maybe that would fill the void in my life. A man with a big stick. I had power. And when I walked in a room, people took notice." It was empty. People were just manipulating all the time. It was empty. It was frustration. All the armies of Israel were at its zenith under Solomon. Many men who are carrying a big stick are crying on the inside. Here and gone. Let's read on. I'm almost through. Verse 8. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I got me singers and men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. And the first part of that verse, he's talking about riches. And many people have pierced themselves through with a love for money, 1 Timothy in chapter 6, and brought all kinds of destruction. I'll just tell you again, because I'm somebody who doesn't have money, and most of us are here, people that don't have money. You can be a poor man and love money, and you finally get a little bit of money in your hand, a little bit of money in your wallet or in your bank account, and it can ruin you if you're not careful. It'll pierce you through. I had a preacher tell me a year ago that the church got nearly 400,000, almost the same amount as I shared earlier, nearly $400,000 given to their church in an estate. And all it's done is cause problems in the church. I had another pastor down in Detroit, Grace Baptist Church. That church is the one that used to own Canaan land way back in the 40s. And the guy's name is White, not the White that you're thinking of, Brother White. His name is Bob White. And he told me that they received $4.5 million in an estate. So they're building a big brand new building. And 3 years later, this is what he told me this last year. 3 years later, I said, man, how's it going? He said, I wish we had never been given the money. I said, man, I'd like to try that sometime myself. He said, all that's done is divided people. I think they went about it the wrong way. He had all kinds of committees, and everybody wants to do certain things. And he said, you know, it does nothing. I know another church. I don't know if it's still there or not, and I won't name them. Some of you people used to go to that church. It's over in Wisconsin. They got all hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. Little church. It's sitting in the bank. I don't know if it's still there or not. So rewind me a year ago. Still sitting there. Missionaries trying to get on the field. And they got a sacred cow. And they're not, money's not the answer. I don't want to burn out for God. Remember Curtis Hudson? He was the second editor of the Sword of the Lord. He died, passed away of cancer in the early 90s, if I remember, and right, mid-90s. And he said, man, I want to spend everything I got for God. An inheritance for my kids, it's going all to God. He said, here's what I want to be doing. I want to have spent my last $1.50, that'll tell you how long ago it was, $1.50 on a Big Mac. And I want to be eating that last money I spent, my last money I owned on a Big Mac when the big one hits me, the heart attack. And that's the way it is. That's the way I want to end it. And he said, I checked with my wife before I came to the platform. She said, as financially, we are right on schedule. She said, give it to God. I'm just saying, don't develop a holy cow, a sacred cow, an idol. Don't do that. Give it to God. I gathered me silver and gold, all empty. Music that isn't God-honoring music is empty, worthless entertainment, a waster of life, a teacher of false philosophy and doctrine. That's right. The majority of the music in the world today. That's right. That's what it is. Amen. Plant seeds of doubt in the hearts of your children and in your own heart. Takes you places you ought not go as a child of God. Solomon said, I had it all. If you read later on in this chapter, you find out he even had religion without God. And it's empty. It goes nowhere. Verse 2 of chapter 3. Verse 23 of chapter 2 says, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Look back at verse 11. I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Listen, the richest guy in the world at that time was Solomon. And if the guy that's the richest in the world at that time says money isn't where it's at, holdings, that's not where it's at, music, that's not where it's at, my work, that's not where it's at, good times, that's not where it's at, if all of those things the wisest man on earth, Solomon, said are empty. Why don't we just believe him? Go to chapter 12 now, chapter 12. Jesus Christ is the Savior of men. When I say men, I'm talking worldwide men, women, and children. He's the Savior. You can be forgiven in half a tick of the clock if you call out to Jesus for salvation, for forgiveness of sins. And he will save you. It's that easy. And then you get to serve him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. When are we supposed to serve God? In our youth. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Because the day is going to come where you'll not have strength. Religion may be for little old ladies and little kids, but Jesus isn't. He's for men, young men. Women, young women, people of every age. Now's the time to live for God after salvation. Verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Okay, here's the wisest man on earth. That's what the Bible tells us. Listen to what he says. It says, here's the conclusion. Here is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it's at. Your life empty? This is where it's at. No matter what you do for a vocation, if you turn a wrench, drive a truck, if you run a business, if you stand, sit at a desk, no matter what it is you do, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Fear God. Oh, I preached on that Thursday in chapel at Maplewood. Because there's a whole, people don't honor God today. People don't understand what it is to honor God. Our young people do. I shared it with them Thursday, and I don't have time to preach that message right now. I'm sure that 75% of the people in the auditorium don't know what it is to honor God. Don't know what it is to fear God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Don't leave God out of your life. Don't leave Jesus out of your life. He makes all of the difference. Jesus is still the answer. And if you let him, he will lead in your life and he will bless you. You don't have to live out what Solomon discovered, the old preacher. You don't have to live that out. He saw heartache. He saw destruction in the lives of his people and in his own life personally. He said the whole duty of man. Fear God and obey him.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.